go outside and assess what damage did the storm do. Did you get the storm that rolled through parts of the province last night? Had hail, had winds registering up to 100 kilometers an hour. We're hearing hail the size of ping pong balls in some parts of the province. So all of this stuff, of course, is ill-timed, if you will. The hailstorm, of course, we are hearing around the Davidson area, or just west of Davidson. There was some fairly severe hail that hit there as well. So as always, you are the eyes and ears for us. Would appreciate hearing from you. 1-877-332-8255. What did the storm do in your neck of the woods last night? Was it a ton of rain? Was it almost more of a light show and a thunder show? Or did you get hail? Shoot us a text. If you've got pictures, we'll take those too. Text line is always open for you. 1-877-332-8255. So we got lots on the go today. Canola tariffs officially hit today. We know the markets adjusted downward immediately after that announcement was made this week. This is a gut punch for farmers who are literally climbing up on the combine right now to get out and get started on harvest. So we'll continue to follow along with that. Conservative leader Pierre Poilievre is in Saskatchewan this morning. He's got a press conference coming up at 9 o'clock this morning. We have reporters there. This is a statement that is being made on the government's EV mandate, no doubt tied to those canola tariffs. Well, we're going to dig into the Air Canada flight stoppage in a moment. That swirl is going on right now. Flights could be canceled, and we could be hearing about that later today. I would say there's a slim to none chance that we're going to see some sort of resolution by the weekend. I've got a couple of experts coming up momentarily, and we'll dig into that in a second. How much have we talked about the frustration that Donald Trump has with Canada? And we dig into it from a few angles. We know he's been critical of our border. He's been critical of defense spending. He's been very critical of supply management. He hasn't called it that, but he's talked about the dairy industry. He's talked about poultry, eggs. He's really taking swings at how we use supply management in Canada. I've got an expert joining us on the show just a little bit later who also thinks supply management is not good for Canadians. We'll talk with him, and then we'll open up the phone lines for you. Also, a check-in with the RCMP. I mentioned earlier this week, the community of Richmond still having problems with the self-proclaimed Queen of Canada. 2 years later, we're going to talk about that. High number of road fatalities, domestic violence is up, murders are up in the province. Superintendent Murray Chamberlain will be here later on this morning. All right, with that, we are getting into our big talker.
Let's get down to business, shall we?
Welcome.
Let's begin.
The Evan Bray Show, the big talker.
Well, I mentioned Air Canada is likely to start canceling flights this morning. We are staying on top of this. We're keeping an eye on the departures board at the airport. Really, what is at the crux of this is the flight attendants, the union that represents the flight attendants, is pushing Air Canada for some sort of recognition. And of course, this is financial recognition of the fact that a lot of the duties they do are considered to be unpaid. Flight attendants, we're learning this as this unfolds. Flight attendants are actually paid for the time the door closes in the airplane, and they are actually now in the airplane with the passengers and essentially up in the air doing their thing. But you know, if you've taken a flight, there's a lot of work that happens prior to that. There's a lot of work that happens after that. And that, the union is saying, is going unpaid. So this morning, I'm happy to bring someone onto the show that we've had on before. John Graddick is the coordinator of the Aviation Management Program at McGill University in Montreal. He's our resident aviation expert. We brought him on the show a few times, and John joins us this morning by phone. John, thanks so much for taking the call.
My pleasure to be here with you.
So Canada's travel agency bracing for another major disruption. 10,000 Air Canada employees issued strike notice. Is there a chance? Maybe I'll start with this. Is there a chance this could be avoided and we get a deal by the weekend?
I hope so. There is a chance. So, you know, there's a press conference going on right now as we speak in Toronto with Air Canada executives who are kind of having to finally speak to the media about their disappearing act for the last couple of days. And we'll see what the end result of that press conference will be. But I think Air Canada, was relying on the federal government to really put back to work legislation or contemplate either a binding arbitration or back to work legislation. I think the message was loud and clear that the government would very much prefer the two parties to kind of settle it across a conference room table during negotiations. So we'll see how Air Canada reacts to that.
So they seem to be pretty far apart, John. I've heard both sides talk about this. Can you highlight for us what the sticking points are as we understand it?
Yeah, the big one is wages. I think that everybody, with the flight attendants have been publicly stating that the starting wages for flight attendants is below the poverty level. Starting flight attendants have been forced to kind of live three or four flight attendants to a room. Some of them are living in cars and in vans. They can't afford the rent, whether it's Vancouver, Toronto, Montreal, or Ottawa. And so they, they're in pretty dire straits when it comes to salary levels. Air Canada just came off a 10-year agreement with the flight attendants. It was signed in 2014-15, I think. And that wages that were covered in that agreement had a 2% annual wage adjustment. So it doesn't take rocket science to figure out, whoops, they're a little far behind the curve when it comes to salary adjustments due to the cost of living. So the perspective that I have at this point in time, there's about a 34 to 38% gap in terms of cost of living adjustments to their 2014 agreed upon levels that need to be put in place. So catch up on wages is one. And the other thing that's kind of getting people's attention these days is the fact that flight attendants are highlighting the fact that they don't get paid until the door of the airplane closes. So all that work they do in preparing for a flight, greeting passengers on board the flight, seating them, helping them with carry-on bags, all that stuff, they're not being paid for that. So the flight attendants are saying it's time we get paid.
John Graddick is my guest. This can't be a new problem. Have they taken swipes at dealing with this at the bargaining table in past rounds, John?
They haven't addressed it directly. I think that the airline recognizes that there is work that the flight attendants do prior to boarding and after deplanement. And what the airline has done traditionally, and this has gone on for decades, is to bump up the salary of the employees once that door closes. So instead of getting paid $24 an hour, as a flight attendant, they bumped it up to $40 an hour, as an example. And said that differential in terms of salary level covers what we believe to be the amount of work that you do pre and post flight. So they're not accounting for it directly, but recently airlines in the U.S. and Canada have started to recognize that that has to be an overt payment that has to be recognized individually other than just what's going on in the airplane. So Delta is starting to pay that. They've started in 2022. United is doing that in negotiations today. Porter has already done it. Pass Canada, a smaller airline in Eastern Canada, already does it. So the writing's on the wall that this has to be done by Air Canada.
Mm-hmm. John Graddick is my guest, aviation expert. Can we go back to wages for a second? Because there are a lot of people. I mean, we know that we're in a financial crunch right now. People are being economically impacted for a variety of reasons. So when people hear living at a poverty level, and then they hear wages that could be $25, $30, $35 an hour, it's hard for people to reconcile. Do you have a sense of what the contract, the scope of pay is for Air Canada employees? And is it a case where it's more of an issue in the bigger cities where cost of living is that much higher?
Yeah, it is. The last part of your question, yes, it is. But the crew bases where you're basically working out of is Vancouver, Toronto, Montreal. And, we know the apartment costs are, heading skyward. $2,000 a month gets you a closet. But that's your whole paycheck as a flight attendant. You see, the flight attendants might get, $25 an hour, but they're only working 70 hours a month. That's the max that they're being offered by Air Canada. There's a maximum allowable number of hours by law, which is 80 hours a month. But because you're low on the totem pole in terms of seniority, I should say, you don't get the maximum number of hours. So while the wage rate might be high, comparatively speaking, to what we expect, customer service employees to get, the number of hours are nowhere near the 37 or 40 hours a week that we would normally get.
Mm-hmm. John, digging into this a little bit last night, I had to go back to 1985, the last time Air Canada flight attendants went on strike. And back then, Air Canada didn't want travel disruption, so they ended up training 1,800 management personnel and university students to try and cover the gap while the strike went on. It lasted 6 weeks, and then they got some resolution. That's obviously not on the table here.
Yeah, no, the Bill C-58, federally legislated piece of legislation, creates a anti-replacement worker policy for federally regulated companies that prevents the carrier from, or any federally regulated company, from basically hiring or using non-unionized workers to replace workers that are in labor action. Right. So there is legislation, it's famous anti-scab legislation, and that's now in effect. So Air Canada would be pretty tough to be able to try to circumvent C-58 by bringing in replacement workers.
What are the implications? Obviously, it's self-explanatory if Air Canada starts canceling flights, but what are the implications on the industry in Canada as a whole? We're already hearing of a number of people choosing WestJet, for example, for flights they've got coming up. What do you see this doing in the long term if this strike goes ahead?
Well, I think that you're going to see a loss of faith and a loss of trust in Air Canada, that's for sure. But we do have competition in Canada. We have WestJet, as you said. We have Porter. We have Flair. We have Air Transat. We have a number of regional carriers. So it's not as if Air Canada is the only game in town. So there are, like 250 other aircraft in Canada that other carriers are flying. So this is not a national emergency. This is not one where, we have to, get Air Canada back to work because people are not able to fly. There are very, very few, if any, markets in Canada that are only flown by Air Canada and not by one of the other competitors. So, and Air Canada Express and Provincial Airways, Air Canada Jazz, are still flying. They're not affected by this work stoppage by Air Canada flight attendants. Mm-hmm. So, we're not short of flights. And I think that's where it gets to be a little tricky in terms of, Air Canada is the biggest game in town, but it's not the only game in town. And that's why you see the federal government basically saying, get this thing sorted out on the negotiating table and do it, in a way that recognizes that you're not the only game that we have to have to work with.
John, we appreciate your time.
And by the way, I was a flight attendant during that strike in 1985.
Oh, is that right? I didn't know that. That's a good, useful piece of information, John.